Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on your shortlist of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started today at Indeed.com/WSJ. That's Indeed.com/WSJ.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, it remains Lyft Goes Public Week as the ride-hailing service prepares to price shares Thursday ahead of a trading debut Friday. Breaking down everything we know after these tech headlines. The pressure on Facebook is mounting following a live stream of the New Zealand mosque massacre, with the nation's leader calling for an overhaul of the country's social media laws and her Australian counterpart proposing criminal penalties for companies that are slow to remove such content. In New Zealand, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said she's looking for a meaningful change to the social media laws of the country. And in neighboring Australia, where the mosque shooter was from, the government has proposed penalties that could include fines for companies and jail time for social media executives. The Journal writes how the two nations are joining other parts of the world, in particular Europe, in demanding faster action from social media firms on topics ranging from the removal of terrorist propaganda to monitoring live streaming and cooperating more with police investigations. Despite being relatively small markets, Australia and New Zealand may carry more clout in the debate over how Facebook moderates content. As experts say, English-speaking countries, at least for now, have a lot bigger impact. For the latest details, head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Apple and Qualcomm each notched victories from a U.S. trade body in their years-long feud over patent licensing. Apple netted the more significant victory this week with a ruling by members of the U.S. International Trade Commission that the iPhone maker didn't violate a patent held by its former chip supplier. That ruling effectively overturned an ITC administrative judge's finding that Apple had violated a Qualcomm patent related to power efficiency in mobile phones. A less definitive decision came just hours earlier in a separate patent claim by Qualcomm. In that case, the judge issued an initial finding against Apple and recommended a limited ban on iPhone imports. That recommendation is still subject to review by the ITC and potentially by the Trump administration. The fight started in early 2017 when Apple sued Qualcomm in federal court in San Diego, alleging the chip maker leveraged its dominance in the modern chip market. The trial is set to start next month. And two consumer credit giants plan to start working together to sell consumers' data to banks, the latest attempt to feed banks' appetite for more information on customers. Equifax and Fair Isaac, creator of the widely used FICO credit score, started pitching each other's services earlier this month, and the companies announced the partnership on Wednesday. The partnership is the latest effort by companies that have been the bedrock of the U.S. consumer credit system to diversify beyond the nuts and bolts of credit reports and scores. Coming up, ahead of its imminent debut, Lyft lays it down, everything we know about the IPO.
Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on your shortlist of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started today at Indeed.com/WSJ. That's Indeed.com/WSJ.
All eyes remain on ride-hailing company Lyft this week as it remains set to go public. It's been hard at work conducting a roadshow to market its shares, which Lyft will price on Thursday. The Wall Street Journal's Anne-Marie Fertoli has more.
Lyft is expected to price shares above its target range of $62 later on Thursday, ahead of its trading debut on Friday. Joining me in our studio with more is Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Driebusch. Corey, Lyft lost nearly $1 billion last year, but this is a highly anticipated IPO. Why is there so much investor demand?
So part of it has to do with just this is the biggest IPO we've seen in years. And as most stock market watchers remember, at the end of 2018, we had a pretty brutal sell down, particularly in tech stocks. And a lot of portfolio managers have some cash on the sidelines and are ready to put it to work. This is an exciting growth story. Whether or not you believe they're very close to being profitable, there's that potential that a lot of investors we've been speaking with are buying into. So as I mentioned, investors we've talking to over who have attended the roadshow, say they entered wary of that big 2018 loss. But it seems like Lyft's co-founders have really done a good job assuaging those fears. And I guess they have emphasized that part of the reason for the loss is because they're making quote-unquote focused investments, such as bikes and scooters, that they believe will pay off in the long term. And many investors, it appears, to be buying into that. And we're hearing demand is not unexpectedly high, but high enough that we've heard that the underwriters and the company is going to be pricing shares above expectations.
But what about those concerns over profitability, which you mentioned? What are we hearing from Lyft about that?
Lyft has been showing and talking, as I mentioned during the roadshow, about how it's there is a big opportunity in the ride sharing space. That right now ride sharing makes accounts for a small percentage of total miles driven in the U.S., meaning that's a big chance to grow. And another thing that we talk to investors about is how maybe several years ago there was this thought that it was a winner-take-all market and that Uber, obviously Lyft's larger rival, could be the winner who would take everything. But Lyft's market share has been growing a lot, and that even as their losses have also been growing, they've been capturing about a third or so of U.S. market share in the ride-sharing space, which has gotten to the point where you don't hear, when we talk to investors about their worries, it's less that about Lyft's viability, because now the assumption is Lyft will be here to stay, which I think is important when these investors are also thinking about where to put their money, that they're not taking a huge risk that Lyft could be quashed by Uber. It's we're taking a risk on how quickly Lyft can become profitable.
And you're right, we can't really talk about Lyft without talking about its biggest rival, Uber. So what are we hearing about what Lyft's IPO this week could mean for Uber as it prepares for its own IPO later this year?
A lot of folks have, and by folks I mean like analysts and portfolio managers I've talked to, have drawn comparisons to other publicly traded rivals who maybe IPO'd close together, for instance, Trulia and Zillow. And the fact that Lyft is getting this big premium, it looks like, or is on track for a big premium, we've reported that they're planning, unless something drastically changes, but the plan is to price shares above the targeted range on Thursday. The ideal hope, based on the underwriters, is that those shares trade up in the stock market opening. So if Lyft is going to have this big premium, that should bode really well for Uber to also command a big premium. So this all should be good news, presumably, for Uber. But that being said, we haven't seen their financials yet, so it's really hard to make a judgment call.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Driebusch joining me in our studio with more details on Lyft's IPO coming up on Friday. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.